Today's message is entitled Ask, Seek, and Knock. And perhaps you've heard this passage before that we're about to read. And it's interesting that as we were working through the passage this week, and Dan was communicating some things to Bethany there at Casa Angelina and gave her the news that we're halfway there financially on the project of the $52,000. And she gave a voice memo to Dan and said, look at this. It's like sometimes you just got to be reminded that sometimes all you need to do is ask. And I thought, well, how fitting is that, you know? I mean, we're going to be walking through the significance of asking the Lord. The Lord is going to invite us into that here in Matthew 7. Would you pray with me before we begin this time in the Word of God? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this moment right now as we get into the Word together. Lord, your Word, it guides us, it leads us, it speaks into our hearts. It shows us the things in our life that we can grow in. It shows us areas of your heart that we can learn and glean from. And Lord, I just pray that you would draw all of us closer to you through your word today. Please bless and anoint this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Folks, would you please stand as we get ready to read from Matthew 7. Starting in verse 7, Jesus says, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? You may be seated. I think this is a beautiful passage as it's an invitation to those who trust in Christ to lean into him as we walk through this life. There's an invitation here and a call here to prayer. And there's basically three points I want to drive home today, and they'll be very brief. I realize we have some authentic Guatemalan food that we'll be partaking in approximately 15 minutes. But if you could hold tight with me, that would be great. The three points are this: permission to pray, persistence in prayer, and then the last one is peace in God's answer. So permission to pray, persistence in prayer, and peace in God's answer. Let's walk through the first one. Did you know that God invites us to pray? He invites us to call out to him. In fact, there's scriptures that say, call to me. Seek the Lord. Hebrews 4:16 says, come boldly to the throne of grace. And James 4, verse 2, God tells us that we do not have because we do not ask. There's an invitation for us to seek the Lord. And there's also a command to seek the Lord in prayer. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says, first of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. And a few verses later, Paul says in verse 8, I desire then that in every place men should pray. We're called to be people of prayer. There is an invitation, but I want us to understand that there's permission to prayer. And I say it that way because I had a conversation recently with someone that almost felt like the things that they were going through Like in the grand scheme of things, of all the requests that God gets day in and day out, they thought, I don't want to bother him with my petty, small things when you consider, you know, he's dealing with the war in Israel, right? And he's got rulers and presidents and leaders all over the world that he's at work with and orchestrating all these things. And why would he want to hear from me? But I want to start with that foundational piece is God does want to hear from you. He wants you to come to him. He calls you to him. And so there's permission to pray. Bring your requests to the Lord. We'll walk through that a little bit more in a moment, but the next point is the persistence in prayer. You do not have to raise your hands in this moment, but I just simply am going to ask a question for all of us to sit on. Have you ever prayed for anything and then you had to wait and you continue to pray? And you continue to wait. And it almost gets to the point where you're not seeing the answer as you continue to wait. And so you sort of fade back on your prayer. Perhaps people can relate to that. And I want to look at this passage in another passage, a cross-reference actually in Luke 11. We see Jesus' words here. You're welcome to go there. But in Luke 11, verse 5 through 10, the Bible says that Jesus, teaching them more about prayer, used this story. Listen to the story Jesus gives here. He says, suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. And you say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me. The door's locked for the night, and my family and I are all in bed. I can't help you. Now, I'm just trying to imagine that conversation going around today, right? Go away. But I tell you this, though he won't do it for a friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. And then Jesus goes on to say, and so I tell you, keep on asking and you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. I think Jesus is pointing out that prayer is something that is persistent. We must make a point of continually coming before the Lord. Not only do you have permission, but God's saying, keep coming. Keep coming. And he'll be way better than a friend who's trying to sleep at midnight. Another example that Jesus gives about persistence in prayer is from Luke 18. It's another story that he tells his disciples on how they should pray and not give up. And in Luke 18, he says, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. Well, for some time, this judge refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. He says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And you see this widow and her persistence and coming to this unjust judge, bringing her case before him over and over and over. And it's almost like the unjust judge says, I'm going to just settle this so this annoying woman would just go away. So Jesus gives us that earthly example, this example of a judge who's not godly. I mean, Jesus points that out. If he points out that an ungodly judge would give in on persistence, how much more would a judge who loves you provide the answer? Persistence. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray continually or to pray without ceasing. Now, how do you practically do that? If I'm going to have a conversation with someone, I would have to stop praying to the Father. And so I think it's important to note that this is an attitude of prayer all throughout the day. Having that mindset that when I'm not doing this or I'm doing that, I go to prayer. I seek the Lord. It's something we do on a consistent basis. And in Ephesians 6, when you have the whole list of the armor of God, one of the things that sometimes can get dropped in all of that is right after the sword of the Spirit is listed, boom, we've got prayer that follows all of that up. And in Ephesians 6:18, the Apostle Paul says to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. God wants us to be people of prayer, persistent in our prayers, going to the Lord in prayer. In James 5:16, the Bible says that the prayer of a righteous person has great power in its working. So we know there's permission. We know there's a call. God's saying be persistent in it. And now this last piece I want to talk about is having peace in God's answer to the prayers that you are submitting. Perhaps you've heard it said that God can answer prayer in three ways: yes, no, or wait. This point of peace is key for anyone right now that's in the waiting room or who feels that they're not getting the answer that they desire. You know, the second part of Jesus' words after he talks about asking and seeking and knocking and that God will provide in all of these ways, the second part of the passage talks about how our God in heaven knows how to give good gifts to his children. And so whatever answer God gives us as we seek, as we pray, there's a certain point where we have to trust that God knows what he's doing. It's not always the easiest thing to do, but that's where we have to lean in on scriptures like James 1, verse 17, that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. And there can be times in our life where, man, I know I should pray, but I don't know how to pray. Well, you want to know a spiritual truth? The Holy Spirit prays on our behalf when we don't know what to say. How do you like that? In Romans 8, 26 through 28, it says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. And it goes on to say, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And so we not only have the prayers that we are giving, but if we are in Christ, the Spirit of God is at work interceding for us. And then there's this gem of a verse, Romans 8, 28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Here's how you find peace in God's answer. If you're in the waiting room or you're not getting the answer that you're desiring right now, is to hang on to a verse like that that says, and God will cause everything to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Gary Hamrick says it this way: rest in God's best and not in your request. Rest in God's best and not in your request. I know it's been said here from this pulpit, kind of the palms up mentality. You pray, but at some point when you lift that up to the Lord, whatever happens now, I'm trusting that the Lord has my best interest at heart. And ultimately, what he's going to do is going to bring him the most glory, honor, and praise. That's what I want with my life. And as we go through things in life, there can be anxiousness of the things that we walk through. Anybody relate with that? Okay. Anxiety, it can fill our heart. And the Bible encourages us to go to the Lord with that anxiety. In Philippians 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but instead, in everything, we pray and we bring our supplication to the Lord, and we do it with what? With thanksgiving. And the Bible says, and then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. That's how you find peace in God's answer. He knows what's best, and as I've presented this request, I bring in all the things that I'm thankful for that he's done in my life. Colossians 4:2 says to continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Sometimes when things aren't going our way and we're frustrated and we start to complain, but God, instead we approach him with thanksgiving, and in return we receive his peace in the midst of the waiting room, in the midst of trusting that he knows what's best. I don't have time to break this down today, but if you get our midweek emails, this Wednesday I'll be breaking down the reasons that sometimes prayer can be ineffective in our life. Stay tuned to that this week. But with that cross reference, obviously in Luke 11, we're looking at a very similar moment here, Matthew and Luke's perspective through the Holy Spirit. Key things is permission to pray, persistence in prayer, and finding peace in whatever God's answer may be. But I close with this. In Luke, notice what he points out regarding the gifts that earthly fathers give and our heavenly Father. Luke 11, verse 11. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So while on one hand I've been talking quite a bit about persistence in prayer and seeking the Lord, on the other hand now I'm going to talk about what it looks like to seek the Holy Spirit in your life. Did you know that before people come to faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is at work? He's convincing them of their need for Jesus. One of the greatest gifts that you can receive, and you may not even know you're receiving the Holy Spirit when you do this, but when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, he comes into your life, but you're given a deposit from God, and the deposit is the Holy Spirit. He comes to live in you. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You receive the Holy Spirit in your life when you receive the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. That could be a step one for someone listening right now. Have you received Jesus? Is the presence of the Spirit of God in your life? But I've also come to know and experience and hear testimony from many people that I think it would be important for us each and every day that as we go through the day, is just asking for the Spirit of God to empower us as we go about what it is that God has for each of us. I can't do this stuff on my own. I can't go about being a good husband or a good father, let alone then also the pastoring of hundreds of people. I need the Spirit of God to help me in all of these things. And believe me, I will fall short. Can I get an amen? Stop. Okay, but I will fall short. I need the Spirit of God to help me. And the only way I can be good in any of those areas is by the Spirit of God empowering me and producing fruit in my life. I remember one of the Kendrick brothers sharing testimony at Iron Sharpens Iron last year that when he shifted his prayers, and he was one that thought, when I receive the Holy Spirit through salvation in Jesus Christ, I have all the Spirit there is to receive. And he said, even as a little Baptist boy, when he grew up, that was his mindset. But then all of a sudden, he just started seeing things in the Scripture about being filled with the Holy Spirit, even after they were saved. And he thought, I'm going to just ask for this. And he said that he had started doing this within the last few years, and he just started seeing crazy things happening, where it's like, this could only be God. And so for all of us today, if you're a follower of Christ, ask for more of the Holy Spirit. God's inviting you to do that in Luke 11. Watch what God does as you seek the Spirit in your life. Last note is this, in Revelation 3:20, often a verse used to invite people into a relationship with Christ, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock." Right? If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. And we think that is a verse, you receive Jesus Christ into your life. That verse right there is written to people who are believers. And so just as we ask, seek, and knock, and God is calling us into that, I want us to hear this as the final point today. God desires to meet with you. And that is one of the greatest aspects of prayer. That isn't rushing in to seek answers for this and that and the other thing. It's just to spend time with a God who wants to spend time with you. He's knocking. Will you open the door? Will you meet with him? Would you pray with me as we close? Father, I thank you for this message here today. And Lord, I'm asking for your blessing in the response. Lord, your word encourages us to seek you, to come to you in prayer and trusting, Lord, that you're going to be at work when we bring our prayers and supplications to you. And Lord, where anyone might be right now spiritually, it's possible there's someone listening that when I talk about receiving Jesus and the gift of salvation, you think about your own life and you don't know if you can answer to receiving Christ at some point in your life. And if you desire to receive Jesus right now, I want to encourage you to pray with me. Just pray with me in your heart and say, Jesus, I come to you a sinner in need of a Savior. And I'm asking for you to forgive my sin. And I'm asking for you to redeem my life. Thank you for this gift of salvation. And as I received Christ, I also received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Please guide me and lead me, Lord. Father, for all of us, it's possible that a message like this maybe encourages some to keep on praying, and maybe for others that maybe there's a prayer fatigue. Lord, I pray that you would give them the grace to pray. to navigate whatever it is that's on their heart. May we be people who continually ask, seek, and knock. And whatever the answers may be that you give us, Lord, we're trusting in your best. Lord, guide us by your grace. And I pray that, Lord, you would fill us more and more every day with your Spirit so that we can be most effective for you and least concerned about our own kingdom. We thank you now in Christ's name. Amen.